In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've had this really wonderful moment that sometimes happens when you're preparing to give a sermon. And about 11 o'clock last night, after spending my time in Paul's letter to the Galatians, I read Isaiah. And I thought, okay, Lord, that's funny. And no, we're not doing that. But then I realized what God was showing was the reality that these two things, in a sense, are running parallel. And there's a very simple thing that happens in these first two verses out of chapter 3 in Galatians. And Paul is describing the purpose, of the law. He says, now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, and listen closely, so that we might be justified by faith. And I have to tell you, might be was not what I was looking for. I'm thinking, I could use a real solid guarantee right now. And as I spent a lot of time thinking about that, not fully understanding might be, I'm realizing it's a concept and understanding that we brothers and sisters still retain our will. Amen. So when I looked at Isaiah, the Lord was saying to me, he goes, well, here's your proof. Isaiah, this is 8th century BC, when God was speaking through Isaiah. Paul is speaking to the church in Galatia. Almost 800 years later. And he's essentially, in a much nicer way, carrying the same message that God was sharing through Isaiah. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but the first two verses, chapter 65, listen closely. This is God speaking through Isaiah. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. This side of the cross, Paul is teaching the church still today. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. See, the prophecies of Isaiah were to God's people, who in the midst of all that was going on in their world were choosing their own way and not choosing God. Although he's, here I am, here I am. In fact, it was so bad. Isaiah, at one point, trying to gain people's attention so they would hear what God is saying, is literally walking down the street naked. Some people like to spiritualize that. I'm guessing he was naked. And at some point, even in the book of Isaiah, people aren't paying attention. He turns to somebody who says, write this down. Because ain't nobody listening. Paul is, we still have that ability not to listen. Even on this side of the cross, all that has been done, all that God has done, his only son given for us, so that we may be reconciled fully to God through his body and blood, even in the midst of all of that, even in the midst of the Spirit of God moving in his people, each of us capable and hopefully having an encounter with the risen Lord, our own encounter and witness, even in the midst of all that, Paul, being more aware of this than many others with his own experience, he says to the church, this was done so that we might be justified by faith. The might be justified is on us at some level. See, God has done all that God can do. God has done all that God is going to do. Because the one thing he will not do is take your will. So Paul, being somewhat realistic, says, so that we might be justified by faith. Why might? Well, because we like to justify ourselves. Amen? And part of the struggle is we hear the word of God, the law, if you will. We hear what's being said to us. And we have these moments where, let's be honest, we don't like it. But it is there to guide us and to lead us and to expand our understanding and to change us. To change us. And most of us think we're just fine. In fact, we will find ways to guarantee that we feel okay. But the problem is, brothers and sisters, when we dig into the Word of God, when we hear the law, when we hear the understanding, even when we experience the grace and the mercy of God, we see things about ourselves, don't we? And we realize that part of me may not be of God. And sometimes those things are so deeply rooted in us, we are afraid that if we let God change it, we won't know who we are. We have taken our brokenness and created our identity, and in the face of an identity in Jesus Christ, we are hesitant to let God move. Amen? If I accept this Jesus fully, what will I be like on the other side? Who will I be if I let this thing go? And yet Scripture says, let it go. Let God take that from you. Let it become your history. Let the transformation become your witness. But we hold back. We discover when we're out of alignment, we don't always respond enthusiastically to say, Lord, bring me into alignment. Because we have our identity in the world, not in Christ. Who will we be? Who's going to see me change? How will my family respond? How will my friends respond? I can tell you some will respond well and some won't. My mother-in-law accused us of being in a phase. My wife admitting to her, you know, I understand what it means to be born again. Do not tell your father, is what she said. He does not like born again Christians. It's just a phase. You'll be okay. Well, here we are. Living this phase. But I'm telling you, that transformation that God has offered us and continues to, far from complete, is worth giving in. But we have three ways in which we like to address these moments, right? We say, I'm just going to ignore what it says. I love all this stuff about Jesus who loves me, and I hear all that, and he wants me as I am. And then he says, oh, but by the way, this is not in alignment with my will for you. So we try to explain that away. We just go, well, that was then. This is now. See, back then, people were so simple, they didn't really understand, so they had to be very black and white. But now, there's more nuances in our world now, so that's just not true for us. Really? See, one of the interesting things in my recent journey is standing, in Ephesus, where all these simple people lived. And I promise you, there is nothing simple about that city. The structure, the architecture, all of the things that are present, the artistry, I promise you, these were not a simple people. In fact, these were the people who were thinking, discussing, arguing, and setting in place things that we hold to today. I don't see us doing a whole lot of setting new things up in our world today, and quite frankly, we don't really need to, do we? But we do need to understand that when the Lord speaks to us through his word, he means it. Now, we can ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. In fact, whatever it may be, I promise you, you can go find us half a dozen other people that want to ignore it too, and they'll just get on board with you. What we call there, so we go from ignoring to justifying. Now, I'm an expert in justifying. I can justify every single thing I do, right or wrong. Most especially if it's wrong. Especially if it's wrong and you caught me doing it wrong. I can explain it away. It's like the child, you know, show up and they got cookie all over them. It's like, did you get in the cookie jar? No. Well, I think you did. Well, only because you left it where I could reach it. So we get into trouble, we know we're in trouble, and we immediately look for somebody to blame. Well, it's your fault I'm in trouble. If you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have responded this way. We justify. But there's a third way in which we can engage. When we hear the Lord speaking to us, we don't necessarily like what it is. And we hear this concept of Paul saying, so that we might be justified by faith. In the night, we could take out the might and say, no, I choose to be justified in my faith, which means I am going to hear what the Lord is saying to me. I'm going to take his correction, and I'm going to take him at his word, and I am going to grow in the midst of it. I'm going to take this as growth. I'm going to take this opportunity. Great time for growth, by the way, in these ordinary times, as I'm wearing green as a representation of growth. Little liturgical lesson for you. What a great time to hear that God is calling us to grow. And maybe a really good time to hear that Paul's a little hesitant to think that we might or might not. But the opportunity is to grow. What would be the point? Well, to come into this deeper understanding of Christ. See, the growth that we experience comes when we surrender to the transformation. When we hear God's call and we say, I don't think I like that, but I'm going anyway. When we recognize that God himself, through Isaiah, how long ago? Almost, what, 3,000 years ago, was talking to his people through Isaiah and saying, I've reached out my hand to a people who would not take it. A people that were under oppression and they were going to fix it themselves. And if you don't know the fullness of the story, I'll just give you a little glimpse of how bad it got. You may remember a time when God's people were enslaved in Egypt. And then here we are, the kingdom of Judah, and things are pressing in, and they're looking for somebody to save them, and God is saying, here I am, here I am. And you know who they turn to help? Egypt. Doing their own will. See, God, through Jesus Christ, is standing here today saying, here I am, here I am. And his stretched out hand with the wound in it, saying, take my hand. He knows that we need transformation. And by his body and blood, he has earned us the opportunity to come before him. He is justifying us. He is the one who will cleanse us. He is the one who will bring us nearer. He is the one saying, here I am. So that we can turn this might being justified by faith into being justified by faith. Amen? But we struggle. But as we continue to hear what Paul's saying, what a beautiful picture he paints. See, Christ justifies, cleanses, and heals. Paul's telling us we have an opportunity to grow into the fullness of what God's calling us to be, which brings us to verse 26 in chapter 3 of Galatians. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. All children of God. All of us belong. Now I know as individuals, we're thinking, yeah, I belong. Well, that's the great news. Here's the bad news. So do I. Whether you like it or not, I belong to all of us. As many of you as were baptized, verse 27, into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. All that God has ever offered to his people from the very beginning and through the body and blood of Jesus Christ is ours. through faith in Christ requires the acceptance of his grace at the depths of our souls where we need it most, so that we can be transformed and that we can all be one. We're living in a time where people don't want to be one very much, do they? Now I want you to look around this room, and I want you to pick out the one person that you are 100% in agreement with. There's somebody not in this room that was in this room earlier. I've been living with her for 34 years. We have not reached 100% agreement. Anybody? A couple more years than us, right? You, for sure. And yet, here we are. Now, because I want to limit it, I want you to look around the room and just put your eyes on at least just three people that you know you don't agree with. Just keep it to three. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. That promise includes brothers and sisters, that we are one, as many of us who've clothed ourselves in Christ. Now, personal point of privilege as your rector, because I don't think you all know and understand the fullness, and I need you to hear and understand this. This congregation, I brag about you always, because this congregation is living into something that is almost never seen in all of our awareness of our differences, whatever those differences may be. In the midst of whatever upheaval the world is trying to hand over, knowing that some may feel this way about it and some may feel that way about it, no indication on the sides I'm pointing. What we cling to here is Christ. So in the midst of all the struggles that I see in the world, what I see here is people standing side by side, loving Christ, being justified in their faith, and being one, regardless of our opinions. I don't know if you see that. There are things happening here, and things that have happened here, that would blow apart many congregations, that this one pulls together, because we have our focus on Jesus, and we are standing in the middle of the world. We're not hiding here, creating our own little space, our own little think tank where we all agree. We already know we don't agree. Here's people looking at me right now, and I know they don't agree with me. Here's reality. We laugh about it. Why? Because it doesn't matter. What matters is we are all children of God, justified in our faith in Jesus Christ. We are never going to agree, I hope. How dull would that be? And yes, we bump into each other. Yes, we step on each other's toes from time to time. And then we look down and we think maybe we'll just whine and go to our corner. And then we look up and we see the need. And we see the mission. And we see the love. And we recognize that that one person that perhaps we had this time with in our life where we thought we couldn't even speak to each other, we know them differently now. We see them and they see us. See, when I say growth, I mean real growth. So brothers and sisters, I brag about you. People find out what we do in our feeding ministry and they're like, oh my gosh, how do you manage that? I said, we don't. God manages that. So what does that mean? I said, that means we can be feeding someone who is trying to get by because they have limited income, because they paid into a system that can't afford to support them. It means we may be feeding people who spend their entire days working hard so we can be fed. And it means some of those people may or may not have the correct paperwork to be in this country. And on the midst, in the midst of all of that, we have people whose views are as far left politically as you can go and as far right politically as you can go, but they're all standing right there in the center serving God's people. Amen? Because serving Christ above all else is all that matters. Period. That's how we get rid of the might in Paul's statement. That's how we know we are justified in our faith, when we focus on what God is calling us to, not what we want. Amen? So thank you. As your rector, I'm grateful for your witness and the joy that it brings me when I tell people how extremely focused you are and how willing you are to walk together no matter what. I love to tell your story. Amen.